It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. He is the deadliest American sniper in history. He is called the Devil by those he hunted. He is called the Legend by his Navy SEAL brothers. He served four combat tours in Operation Iraqi Freedom and elsewhere. He was awarded two Silver Stars, five Bronze Stars with Valor, two Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medals, and a Marine Corps Commendation. His book is called American Sniper. His name is Chris Kyle, and he joins me now. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine. First of all, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us, the citizens of the United States. I know you guys don't hear that a lot, and I know that you don't expect to hear that a lot, but I am very sincere in what I say. I have just begun reading the book, and I got to tell you, it's an adventure in every page, and my hat's off to you. Let's start at the beginning here. You grew up in Texas. I'm assuming you were a hunter as a kid?
Yes, sir. Definitely grew up hunting and also a cowboy, riding horses and working on a ranch.
Now, who taught you to shoot?
My dad did.
Okay. All right. Did you have a love for it right away?
Yes, sir, I did. I really enjoy the outdoors, and I love being able to shoot. You know, we always grew up where we could walk in our backyard, or so to say, and target set up out there and shoot whenever you like, and then we'd go out and go hunting, and it was always extremely enjoyable to me.
Yeah, yeah. What did you want to do for a living once you got out of school? Did you have a grand plan at an early age?
I did. I had two dreams in life, and one was to be a cowboy, and one was to be in the military. I actually wanted to be a Marine.
All right, and so you wanted to be a cowboy. I understand you did a lot of riding, as you said. Did I understand correctly you had some type of injury that prevented you from continuing that?
Yes, sir, I did. I was in a real bad rodeo accident, and I have pins and screws in my arm. And initially, when I went to sign up, they refused me. They would not take me because at that time, it was not, as they called, a common practice. And so I was excluded from being able to join.
All right, but you were persistent. You went back and did it again.
Actually, I think the government must have been really hurting for recruits because they went back through the records, found my phone number, called me up several years later and said, are you still interested?
I'll be darned. All right. So how do you go from joining the Navy to becoming a Navy SEAL? Because there's sort of a process. You have to be selected. You have to be qualified to a certain degree higher than the normal job within the Navy. So how did all that happen?
Yes, sir. At the time, you could not be a new guy, basically your first platoon, and be able to be a Navy SEAL. You had to prove that you were responsible and were actually capable of making the decisions and operating the weapon systems. And luckily for me, my chief decided, you know what, this is something that you really love, something you want to do. I believe in you, and we're going to send you out.
All right, so they send you out to the SEAL school, and, you know, I'm an outsider looking into this whole thing. All I hear is that it's very, very difficult training. Not everyone makes it through. In fact, most don't make it through. So you had to be proud of yourself for completing that training and moving on.
Oh, I was extremely proud. You know, not only was I a Navy SEAL as my job, that basically became, defined me. That's who I was, which was why I had such a hard time when I got out.
Yeah, yeah. The sniper aspect of it, when did you know that you were going to become a sniper for a SEAL unit?
My first platoon, my chief had made several comments about I was a decent shot, and of course he was a sniper, so it was always, yeah, you're not that bad. And, you know, just trying to keep the rivalry going, and eventually when we went on to our first deployment for the invasion of Iraq, he came to me and said, all right, I'm setting up schools for when we get back. Would you like to go to sniper school? And, of course, I said, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, it takes a special type of person to do that type of work. Obviously, you've killed over 150 of our enemies, and in the process, you've saved many of our guys along the way and many innocent people along the way. You've participated in missions in rural areas and in urban settings. You took out a guy, if I understand correctly, you took out a guy who had a rocket launcher near an army convoy and was over a mile away?
Yes, sir. It's 2,100 yards.
2,100 yards. I didn't even think your equipment worked at that at that distance.
Well, luckily, you know, back in the day of Carlos Hathcock, you know, he did it old school way, and he had to have real talent. Now I can cheat. I've got great technology out there. My scopes definitely, you know, 22 power zoom on them, and so I'm able to do a lot more than what the guys could back in the day.
Yeah. Many probably don't realize that if you make a mistake and you kill an innocent citizen, you actually could have been charged with murder, couldn't you?
Oh, yes, sir, definitely. That is something that definitely happens out there. I mean, even if it's a questionable shot, they will pull you in and keep you confined on the base until the investigation is over, and then you're free to go again as long as, you know, it was a legitimate kill.
Yeah. So you had to be sure, you had to be extremely accurate. And if you miss, many could have died. Did that weigh on you?
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, especially when my job was to be out there protecting the guys on the ground doing their job, and also just the civilian population that was out there. I had to, you know, it definitely was gut-wrenching when you'd see one of our guys being carted off because I wasn't good enough to do my job before the enemy got him.
Yeah. I mean, that really has to play a mind game with you. It really does. You know, I give you a lot of credit for having to deal with that. A lot of people wouldn't accept it, but I know that there have been times probably throughout your career you've thought, gee, I really could have saved a lot more people.
Well, definitely, and that's one of the comments in the book that, you know, people have taken it wrong from what I meant, you know, when I said I wish I would have killed more. And it's
sure.
not the simple fact of killing people. It's I was out there trying to be a guardian angel, and I figured the more guys that I protect, the more, you know, that many more guys can come home, and you feel like a failure anytime someone gets hit.
Yeah. Did you feel proud that the Iraqis in particular called you the devil?
Definitely. It was something that I felt I actually had a effect on the war. I was making a difference out there and providing security, and it made me feel good, but at the same time, you got in the back of your mind, you know, what about my safety now? Did they know who I am, and what about my family?
Yeah. Looking back on it now, would you do it again today?
Definitely. I would. I felt it was a huge honor to be able to serve my country, and if my wife hadn't have given me the ultimatum, I would still be doing it.
I was going to get to that. She appears in the reading that I've done in the book. She appears to be a real saint, and she's kind of kept you on the straight and narrow.
Yes, sir. My wife is something else, and I definitely do not deserve her.
When your career was over as a sniper and you got back to Texas, were you relieved? Were you disappointed? I mean, what was the first thought that went through your mind? Were you glad it's over?
No, sir. It was definitely, you know, I went through a depression because, like I said, being a SEAL wasn't just what I did. It's who I became. And now I had to find out who I was all over again and redefine myself. And it definitely hurt knowing that someone else was now in my spot out there fighting for this country instead of me. And
yeah.
What if they get hurt, or what if they get injured? It plays mind games with you.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do now?
I run a training and security company that we do a lot of training for the military, trying to make sure the guys are prepared before they go downrange.
Do you see that as being your future?
Yes, sir. This is what I have set up, and it definitely keeps me to where I feel like I'm still involved. I still get to be around the guys and feel like I'm giving back to the country. So this is definitely where I will be.
I got to tell you, and I meant this at the beginning, every page is an adventure. Folks, you're going to love this book. And, Chris, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's a great effort, and you, sir, are truly a great American. And, again, I'll say it, I appreciate everything you've done. And, folks, check this book out. It's called American Sniper. It's by Navy SEAL Chris Kyle. Chris, thank you very much for joining me.
Well, I really appreciate you having me, sir.
All right. 5:46, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. I meant what I said when I talked to Chris. You got to be a special person to do what he did. And you have to be, I can't tell you how disciplined you have to be as an individual to do the kind of work that he has done. And for him to kill over 160 of our enemy to protect the lives of other troops. Keep in mind, this is a guy who routinely sat up, would set up shop a half mile away, you know, zero in on a target, wait for the opportune moment, take that target out and save lives in the process. And a lot of these missions that he was involved in with the SEAL Team 3, that's the unit that he was assigned to, a lot of those missions are outlined in this book, and some are just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, some of the things that were accomplished and some of the failures are also listed in the book. And it is definitely well worth the read. I mean, you can turn to just about any page and find something of great interest, you know, about a particular mission. There's one that I just I was going over just a couple of minutes ago, and it dealt with a bunch of insurgents who ended up trying to hide in an area, a body of water, and they had beach balls as their flotation devices. And obviously, you know, Chris wanted to take them out so they couldn't do harm, come back out and do any kind of harm. So from a half mile away, he was shooting the beach balls, you know, their means of support. I mean, there are all kinds of crazy stories in here, but I mean, this is the kind of work that these snipers do. And you know, and I meant it when I told him, you know, I mean, this guy's a hero in my mind. The kind of work that this guy did for four tours in Iraq, taking out, you know, these bunch of idiots, these insurgents, these terrorists. I'm telling you, you don't get a better caliber person, no pun intended, than a guy like Chris Kyle. Book is called American Sniper.